This is the story of Nadal Saeed. Even as a young boy, Nadal Saeed felt he had something to prove. Although he came from a poor family, or maybe because of it, he wanted to show that being poor doesn't mean you can't achieve great things. He also saw a lot of illness and death in his village in northern Syria, and that made the young Saeed want to do something about that.
Ever since I was a child, I dreamed of becoming a scientist.
He imagined working in a lab and discovering a cure for a disease, maybe even cancer. But that dream was a long shot. There wasn't much support in his small village for a young boy yearning for a career in research. Still, Saeed was ambitious, so he studied hard. And after high school, he moved to Aleppo, where he earned a degree in biology from the university there.
So each year, the five best students receive a scholarship to go and study abroad. So I was one of the five best students.
Saeed's scholarship took him to Vladimir State University in Russia. While there, he became fluent in Russian and earned a PhD in microbiology.
And afterwards, we were supposed to go back and work at the university and become a professor.
Supposed to, but Saeed says that's not what happened. When he returned to Aleppo, he ran straight into a political brick wall. Saeed says Syrian President Bashar al-Assad rewarded loyalty.
People with ties to the regime got all the important and good-paying jobs.
Saeed had no ties. So instead of a research job at a university, he had to settle for a job working in a water treatment plant, testing the water for bacteria.
The work that I was doing after I got my PhD was routine work. It was not scientific. It was not research.
Still, it was a job. He married, and his growing family became the center of his world. His dreams of a research career seemed to be permanently on hold. And then came the war.
Attack from the skies. Syrians say barrels.
And life
full of
in Syria turned into a nightmare. Saeed says the bombs were only one of the dangers.
Basically, Syria was a police state. After the demonstrations began, the state started rounding up people and putting them in prison. People from all the different sects, people working in the sciences and at the universities.
One day he heard from a friend with inside information. The friend said, "Nidal, you're about to be picked up and thrown in jail." Saeed knew what that could mean, torture and even death.
He told me 2 to 3 days you need to leave. You don't have options.
It was a panicky few days. The family scrambled, gathering what cash they could, and then they crossed the border into Turkey. They ended up in a refugee camp. Life in the camp was bleak. There was nothing to do. Days in the camp turned into weeks, then months, and then nearly 2 years.
We were physically alive in the camp, but psychologically, we were dead.
The prospect of living a life with no purpose, no chance of a meaningful future, it was all too much for Saeed. One day he told his wife he wanted to try to make it to Germany, a country that was taking in refugees. She and the children would stay in the camp. He would send for them later. He would make the risky journey alone.
It was a very hard discussion to have with my wife.
Did you think you would die on this trip?
It was definitely a real possibility. My wife and I knew several people who died making that journey to Greece.
So Saeed borrowed $7,000
in order to pay the smugglers
to take him on the most dangerous leg of the journey, the sea crossing from Turkey to Greece. They left at night.
We were 35 people on a raft, only 20 feet long. There was no space. We were sitting on top of each other.
There was no captain. There was no one on board who knew how to navigate the raft.
We only had fuel for 2 to 3 hours. So the raft just stopped.
In the middle of the sea. Most on board couldn't swim. The hours ticked by.
Death was always in front of me.
Finally, the Greek Coast Guard picked them up. From Greece, Saeed made his way overland across Eastern Europe. That leg of the journey sounds like something you'd expect to hear from an escaped convict. Running through forests, chased down by border police, thrown into jail, beaten, hungry, sleeping in parks in the cold. And while we couldn't corroborate the exact details of his story, it's consistent with one that many refugees have told. Eventually, Saeed made it to Germany. He applied for asylum and was sent to live in a refugee camp in a town called Hala. One evening, just before Christmas, something happened that would change Saeed's life. He was at a holiday event for refugees at a local church. There were Christmas songs and cookies. Saeed sat down at a table with a German couple and tried to strike up a conversation, but his German was too limited. Somehow, though, he happened to get across the idea that he spoke Russian.
And they spoke Russian too.
Something the couple had to learn growing up in the former East Germany. The three of them fell into an intense conversation.
I was so happy that we could talk to each other and get to know each other, and really we became friends.
And as they got to know each other, they stumbled on an amazing coincidence. The couple's son-in-law was a scientist named Matthias Schmidt, who worked at the prestigious Helmholtz Center for Environmental Research. Schmidt wanted to help refugee scientists, and he was especially interested in hiring a microbiologist, the very subject Saeed had a PhD in. So Schmidt invited Saeed in for an interview.
So I was very nervous about that interview, but it went really well.
We were lucky we found a microbiologist, and he convinced us that he would be very willing to learn. We trusted that we could train him for this work, and he's learning quickly.
Schmidt says Saeed has now earned a scholarship that will extend his time at the Institute. And even though there are questions about his long-term future in Germany, his scholarship will end eventually, Saeed knows just how lucky he is. Very few refugees have enjoyed such good fortune. But for now, Saeed is here, in a lab, a place where his dreams of a research career seem to be coming true.
So basically my work starts here. This is where I prepare the various samples that I work on.
And remember Saeed's dream? To discover a cure for some serious disease? Well, he tells me he's thinking about an ambitious research project that could use modified bacteria to treat cancer. And as he was telling me about that, he started smiling. So I asked him why.
I was smiling because when I was describing this work that I want to do, I had the feeling that I am making a difference in the world. It's for the first time in my life I feel like a real scientist.
Just a few months ago, Saeed's family was able to join him. Instead of a refugee camp, they all live together in this nice, bright apartment. So for now, Nidal Saeed says he feels like a man with everything. And though it may seem paradoxical, that's something war and adversity helped him achieve. Joe Palca, NPR News.